The Best American Short Stories, edited by Roxane Gay. We are in the midst of a significant cultural moment. Of course, there has rarely been a time when we haven't been in the midst of a significant cultural moment. On social media, people parse information and become instant experts on everything from global warming to immigration law. The world feels like it is coming apart. For many vulnerable people, the world is coming apart. In times of great personal or public upheaval, I turn to reading. I turn to fiction and how writers imagine the world as it was, is, or could be. I am not avoiding reality when I read fiction. I am strengthening my ability to cope with reality. I am allowing myself a much-needed buffer, a place of stillness and quiet. I read fiction to step away from the cacophony of the news and social media and the opinions of others. The reprieve fiction provides is a necessary grace. That's from The Best American Short Stories, the introduction by this year's editor, Roxane Gay. And yes, short stories. They are, I have said in the past, the popcorn of the literary world. But when they are well written, as those in this collection are, they are popcorn with a punch, quick to consume, but satisfying to the consumer's mind and spirit. Best American Short Stories has for a long time and continues to be one of the best ongoing serials available at any public or academic library. Each year's collection of Best American Short Stories is selected by a stellar contemporary writer. You can go back decades in time if you'd like. The series started in 1915. And if you enjoyed the writers you discovered in, say, 1979's edition, selected by Joyce Carol Oates, you will discover a batch of sometimes quite or sometimes just different authors and stories in 1999's edition, selected by Amy Tan. Perhaps then I can tempt you to explore past editions of this great short story anthology and continue to read into the future by noting you'll get to discover stories collected under the editorship of folks such as Walter Mosley in 2003, Stephen King in 2007, and Salman Rushdie in 2008. With this 2018 collection, the one I read for this review, the guest editor is Roxane Gay, formerly associated with Purdue University and certainly a stellar writer in her own right. Gay certainly brings her own special sense of the English language short story to these pages. As she tells us in her introduction, "As I read this year's stories, I was thrilled by the opportunity," she writes. "I was also thinking about this ongoing, unfathomable cultural moment and how, if at all, these stories might address it. Often during significant cultural upheavals, critics wonder when and how fiction writers will respond. Such questions are often voiced immediately following the upheaval, with little regard for craft, as if writers were simply sitting around waiting for cultural crises to which they could respond. Some writers stubbornly cling to the idea that writing should not be sullied by politics. They labor under the impression that they can write their fiction that isn't political or influenced in some way by politics, which is, whether they realize it or not, a political stance in and of itself. Other writers believe it is an inherent part of their craft to engage with the political. And then there are those writers, such as myself, who believe that the very act of writing from their subjective position is political, regardless of what they write." In response to this and to critics of that point of view, another reviewer wrote, "Being political and being good are not mutually exclusive. And furthermore, most of the stories found here aren't overtly political. Having diverse characters does not equal a polemic against the current administration." This is the first of the best of series, she writes, where I wasn't completely overwhelmed by the male able-bodied waspiness of it all. Best American Short Stories 2018 is not about what is traditionally considered good literary fiction. It is about what should be considered good literary fiction. It is about stories and voices that are glorious and beautiful, but have been overlooked again and again by literature as a collective. The stories here experiment with structure, with voice, with point of view, and with subject matter. End quote. I ask, but why short stories as compared to perhaps their longer-winded and longer-paged relations the novel? The deep meaning and the usefulness of fiction is well stated by Gay, once again, in her introduction, as she writes, "When I am reading fiction, I'm not always looking for the political. First and foremost, I'm looking for a good story. I'm looking for beautifully crafted sentences. I am looking for refreshing voice or perspective. I am looking for interesting, complex characters that I find myself thinking about even when I am done with the story. I am looking for the artful way any given story is conveyed. But I also love when a story has a powerful message, when a story teaches me something about the world, when a story shows me just how much I don't know and need to know about the lives of others. Variety is the spice of life, I say, and the spices that weave all of these short stories together are many. Female, male protagonists, rural, urban, suburban. There are plenty of quick identifiers I could run past your ears. Many of the stories in this collection, and others in Best American Short Stories, are set in a time and a place that are universal enough to dare specific identities. Is this story taking place in the 1910s, the 1960s, the 2010s, perhaps even the near future? Often there are few year-specific, much less culture-specific, touchstones to tether them in time or in place. For instance, rarely do we read of cell phones or telephones, for that matter. When they are mentioned, radio and television are just that. The reader is free to provide their own brand model options, urban apartments or urban sky landscapes. Even those defy easy specificity. So too, the themes, the questions, the quandaries presented in these tales. What is old is often new. Surprising and telling it is how stories from the 2010s often explore themes, personalities, even locations, be they gritty urban or desperate rural, that have been part of fiction for decades. Case in point, our first story takes place in the forsaken world of a small trailer park, far from a big city. The nearest inhabited town is deeply rural in its feel. A bit further into the collection, we jump into the life of a young man newly released from prison. His reentry into his old urban haunts gives us a sense of déjà vu, reminiscent of any number of gritty short stories and novels from those interwar years of the 1920s and the 1930s. Yet the characters and the events in this contemporary story are unique to it. What sets the short stories in Gay's 2018 collection apart from their favorite writer of novels you may know so well is these stories' immediate demand for attention and for the reader's involvement from the get-go. These stories don't sneak up on you in the manner of so many novels we've become accustomed to reading and enjoying. There is no real beginning, middle, end. And just as strongly, there's no sense of a modern-day TV sitcom or serial, but rather a snapshot of life presented as if these short stories are self-contained novels, novels of surprisingly short length that enter our consciousness as full-blown from the minds of their authors. And they end not so much abruptly as with a certain satisfactory completion. These are never tales that demand our attention for long. The characters, the events, the topics may linger with us long after we've finished reading. But even more than these stories' delightful appeal to our modern-day short attention spans, you can read these stories in an hour or less. Who's not into that? Each one will take you, if only for an hour or so, out of your daily grind and into the lives, the minds, the emotions of somewhere else, as Roxane Gay had referred to earlier, sometimes with a much more optimistic take on life, and sometimes with a much more dour outlook. And of course, yeah, short stories, we're left with all those intriguing stories to ponder. What brought us to this point in the characters' lives? What happens to these folks once we leave this snapshot of their lives? Would I have acted differently, given the same situation, given the same people? Would my life have changed differently? I've discovered some of my favorite writers through reading short stories. Writers like Michael Chabon, David Levitt, Elizabeth Bowen, John Updike, Edwidge Danticat, and of course, Arthur Conan Doyle. And if you're new to exploring the exciting world of fiction, or if you're restarting your exploration of this ever-fascinating world of human creativity, you'll undoubtedly find some new voices, some new characters in the pages of this and the other Best American Short Story collections, too. Finally, let me note that as a library nerd, I was delighted when I discovered the series editor's own fascination with the author's notes that conclude the book. She, and I agree, that these insights by the writers of these stories enrich the reading of these stories. It's such a cool way to both begin and end this collection. And what a collection it is. I want to finish by reading from the opening paragraphs to two of these short stories, maybe whet your appetite, I hope whet your appetite, for more. The first one, The Brothers Buho, from Tough. It's by Matthew Lyons. It starts this way. The funeral is a day of the dead fever dream. All crowns and skeletons and robes and icons burning in the shimmering, dying light of the West. Women in face paint urge the icon down the street as mourners come and pin slips of green paper on his bedazzled robes, their faces slashed with tears. Men beat their chests and howl like apes. Women offer up quiet prayers. Children dressed like mutilated angels kiss foreheads and pass out cardboard blessings. The air is thick and cloying with the cheap sugar of dollar store candles and cigar smoke. This will last all day and deep into the denial of night, carried by songs of redemption and resurrection. And then the very first short story, a bit of a different feel, but just as good, just as powerful, both as an introduction and as a story. It's entitled Cougar, from the Iowa Review, by Maria Anderson. It begins. Our trailer sat on cinder blocks in a half-acre lot, a four-cigarette drive outside of town. There wasn't much else around except Jenny's trailer and forest that started at the end of the lot and went on for as far as you could see, dim and impenetrable. Dad kept pink healing quartz on the porch steps, rocks he'd found in the deepest part of the forests, back when there was still old-growth forest to be logged. He was a sad, quiet guy. Never argued with me or knocked me around like the dads of the guys I used to know. We played cards with his old logging friends when they came through town. Summers, we shot coyotes and the rattlesnakes. Slept outside without tents or bear spray. I never felt safer. We hunted elk and deer. I loved having my hands deep inside something just barely dead, seeing what organs and muscles and fat looked like from the inside. Better than any science class. We had a decent, quiet life in that trailer. The beginnings of two stories from a really fine collection, The Best American Short Stories. In 2018, collected by Roxane Gay. Thanks for listening. Best American Short Stories and their many annual editions is available at all of our fine public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. And you can discover a number of these best American short stories online with Hoopla. No waiting. Just select the title you want, click go, and you can listen from the get-go. So you can discover new favorites just about any time you want. Just keep that library card and internet connection handy. Hope you check out the best American short stories, especially the 2018 edition as collected by Roxane Gay. It's quite a powerful, thoughtful, good read.